is the Lord's, and God, the Lord, is the Lord of hosts, the armies, the heavenly hosts. He doesn't lose a battle. Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The first thing we're going to pray for tonight before we hear the word of God. A man brought his demon-possessed sons to the disciples of Jesus. They tried to cast out the devil. They could not cast this devil out. They brought the same son to Jesus. The first thing Jesus did, he cast out the devil. But before he cast the devil out, he addressed his disciples. How long shall I be with you, O ye of little faith? Jesus addressed the man himself and asked the man, do you believe that I can do this? The man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. If there's anything that will hinder us tonight, it is unbelief. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right now, we are going to pray. If you are here and you are struggling in any way, because the next verses tells us the word of God is powerful, is quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All things are open and naked unto him with whom we have to do. Tonight, God sees your heart. Whether you have faith or you don't have faith, God knows. But right now, cry out to him. Lord, help my unbelief. I receive tonight. Peradventure, there is any iota of unbelief, of doubt in my heart, doubting your word, doubting your person, doubting your power. Lord, tonight, I lift my heart to you. All things are open to you. My heart is naked unto you. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord, that I may receive from you. I present my heart to you just the way it is. Lord, you see my heart. You see my heart. You see the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And if you are a hypocrite tonight, if your heart is full of hypocrisy tonight, God can see. God can see. Lord, take away every hypocrisy. Take away every bitterness. If you have bitterness in your heart, take it away right now. If you are having any doubts in your heart, take it away right now. If you have unbelief, unforgiveness, right now, this is the time. This is the time before the fire of God falls. Lord, you are a consuming fire. A fire goes before you and burns up all your enemies. A fire goes before you. Burn every unbelief. Burn every unbelief. Burn every doubt. Burn every weakness. Peradventure, there is sickness in your body. This is the time. There is sickness in your mind. This is the time. Present it to the Lord. Present it to the Lord. Enter. Enter. Let us therefore labor to enter. Lord, give me rest. Give me rest. If there is unrest in your heart, any form of unrest whatsoever, Lord, give me rest. I enter into your rest in the name of Jesus. I enter by the blood of the Lamb. I enter in the name of Jesus by the new and living way you have consecrated for me. Pray, pray, cry out to the Lord. Seeing we have a high priest, he knows every infirmity. He has been touched with every infirmity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. We are coming to the Lord's table tonight, but we are not coming unworthy. We are not coming unworthy. We are not going to take the body and the blood of Jesus unworthily tonight. We are receiving the power of God tonight. We are receiving what Jesus has done tonight. We are doing this in remembrance in remembrance. So pour out that heart to him right now. God sees your heart. God knows your heart. You cannot hide. There is no hiding place. No hiding place. No hiding place. Absolutely no hiding place. So tell him as it is. Bring your heart. In the name of Jesus, we receive cleansing. We receive purging of our consciences. Every sin, every iniquity, by the blood of Jesus is cleansed tonight. Please thank the Lord right now that your weaknesses, whatever you confess to him, whatever you have brought to him, the Lord has addressed it right now. You have the confidence. You have the faith right now to receive his word tonight. His word tonight. In the name of Jesus. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses or infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The mercy of the Lord prevails over judgment. The mercy of the Lord does not say you are guiltless. It says you are guilty, but you are forgiven. The mercy of the Lord is what gives us the confidence to come before him with our petitions, knowing fully well that he's merciful. Faithful is he who called us, who will also do it. His goodness, his mercy follows us all the days of our lives. That's why you are still alive. Because if the Lord should count iniquity, who shall stand? The grace of the Lord that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. At this point, bring your requests to God. What do you want God to address tonight? I am studying the words of Jesus. Many times, you keep saying, ask. Ask. Hitherto, you have not asked. Ask. Ask. He says, how much shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? Ask. It is in your asking. Is there a challenge confronting you? Is there something hard? Do you find to find a solution? Is there some answers you need? Is there been some delay? Ask, Lord, I want answers. I want to know what is going on, oh God. If you do not ask, you will not receive. If you do not seek, you will not find. If you do not knock, it will not be opened. It's a divine principle. Bring your petitions right now, and the Lord will speak to us. We will take the communion in remembrance of him. And every petition, through the confidence we have that he has heard us, shall be granted. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think, according to his power that is at work in us. Lord, we receive everything you have to say to us tonight. Ask. Don't listen to that voice that is telling you don't bother to ask. Please bother to ask. saith the Spirit of the living God, bother to ask. And ask right now that as the word of the Lord comes, the Lord will, you will hear God's voice. You will hear His voice in His word.
In Jesus' name we pray. Good evening, church. Good evening, church. Yeah, you're welcome to church. Please, can we have a seat? Can we move forward, please, so that we can feel the seats in front of us? Let's come together. Let's fellowship together. Please, can we just move forward, please? Shay, I want you forward. Please, just move forward. So it's Holy Communion today, and like we do in the remembrance of the death of Christ, we come together to share, to break the bread. And in remembrance of Christ, we're just going to look at some of the things that Christ did just before He went onto the cross. And we're going to be sitting together to be able to understand, to be able to meditate on some of His actions before He went onto the cross. I think for the first time, I put a title to a talk, before. And I said, The Journey to Destiny, The Path of Jesus Christ. So it's just what He did. And we're going to be reading from Matthew 26. And before I start, just a quick one. I want to say thank you to Pastor and Pastor Mrs. for the opportunity to be able to hold the mic today. I'm not worthy of the opportunity, but I thank God for His grace. And I pray that God will speak to us all today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, Sit here while I go over and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time he went and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if thy cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayal is at hand. May God bless His words in Jesus' name. We're just going to be looking, these are some of the last activities of Christ on the way going into the cross. And this is something that we read a lot about, just trying to remember Christ today as we're breaking the bread. And we reflect a lot on it. So I just want us to just go through these verses together and just see whether God can just speak something to our hearts today and just touch our hearts today. One key point that I found in this passage was the fact that ahead of time, Christ knew about his destiny. He knew about the purpose for which God created him, for which he came into the world as man, not in that context. He knew that he had come on earth to die for our sins. He had the knowledge of what was going on, and he had that heavy burden on his heart because he knew that the time was very, very near. Here he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know. I'm thinking about it in my local language, how they normally call it. But the Garden of Gethsemane, it's a garden that is at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. And if you would know throughout the period of the lifetime of Christ, that you hear that he went onto the Mount of Olives, and maybe that was the worship on the Mount of Olives. We remember when David was sad and weary when his sons were trying to attack him, and he went onto the Mount of Olives and how they worshipped God. So the Mount of Olives was a big mountain that faced Jerusalem. So on top of it was where the olives were probably planted. And the Gethsemane, the meaning of Gethsemane itself is called the pressing, they call it an oil press. So that's the meaning of Gethsemane. So it was in the Garden of Gethsemane for his last few days. And he knew that he was going to be crucified and that he was going to take up the sin of the earth. And he knew how the story would end. But here, if you look into verse 37, and I want to reflect on this in the context of us, because we're trying to remember what Christ did. We want to walk in the path of Christ. And one of the things that he did was he went into this place and he took his disciples with him. But when he got to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took his three choice men or three choice disciples with him, his most beloved disciples. And the Bible said that in that place, it caught my eyes that it said it was exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And I could just try and paint it in my heart that how can God all by himself, the Almighty, be exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death? And I could understand that he knew where he was going. But there was a tussle in his heart. There was this thing in his heart that was going on, understanding the implication of what he was going to do, to die on the cross to be able to restore us back to Christ. And at that point, he was in a place where he was distressed, more or less. But we understand that he went with friends. And this is what we do in the places when we are very distressed. And I'm trying to look at the life of Christ, and I'm trying to look at us, just to be able to see how we can learn a bit from him. And here, Pastor read a verse where he talked about the fact that we have a high priest who is not, like as if he cannot be touched by our infirmities. And he has experienced the kind of things that we've gone through. Now, in the place of distress, what we tend to do was one thing that was done here. Christ took his men, his watchmen with him. His disciples, he didn't take the many, he took 12. And out of the 12, he took the three closest to his heart. So at a time when he was down and distressed and his heart was heavy, he took men that he could trust. And he took them to a place where he knew that, okay, come and pray with me. But we realize that sometimes at the time when it's the toughest, people can be physically present, but not present, not connected to you in the spirit, more or less. Because you understand that the disciples were present, but they were sleeping. So that means if you're going through something, I could come to your house and say, oh, I'm with you. I'm running with you. I'm joining you in prayers. And I could just step out of the house and just go on to Nando's and have my chicken and forget about it. Because he called his closest men to come and pray. And one thing is that most times we tend to rely on our closest men, may be our spouse, it may be our friends, it could be our parents. And we want to rely on them to be there at the time of distress. But lo and behold, they were busy sleeping. They were tired. People, they also have their own problems. They don't understand the impact of what he was going through. They cannot even understand the fact that Christ was going to be taken away from them very soon. Sometimes people come around and they want to relate with the pain. They have to tell you that, I understand what you're going through. But truly, deep down, they are just physically present. And but what Christ did here was quite interesting. Because even though he took the 12, he dropped the 12 at a point. Then he took three that were trusted, and he kept them also at a point. And he went on further, and he prayed unto God. And one thing that I learned here is that no matter what we are going through, the people that we carry along, the ones that we depend upon, cannot truly bring us into the presence of God. It is us having that one-on-one relationship with God that matters the most. Sometimes we tend to think that if I'm going through a problem, that maybe if I call on my wife, or maybe if I call on my brother, or if I call on my children, I will pray together. But really, you could see that Christ brought them along. They were physically there. But Christ went alone and he had a fellowship with God. He went on to pour his heart onto God. Now, the question that came up here is, who have we been pouring our hearts to, thinking that we are pouring our hearts to God? Now, if Christ went through a place, I mean, the Bible said he was exceedingly sorrowful. At the times when we are exceedingly sorrowful, sometimes I think maybe part of the sorrow may come probably because we placed too much of trust on the so-called three closest disciples to our hearts. Are we fellowshipping with God, or are we depending on the people that we have taken with us to be able to relate with God? And that's a key question that we have to ask ourselves at this point, because different people are going through different difficult places. Different people are encountering different things. And here we can see that even Christ had his own time when he had a difficult, when there was like a tussle, and his heart, his soul, you can this you can say that it was emotionally distressed, because he said his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. I mean, that is quite, interesting for me, because what would have been going on through our hearts, through his heart? But God was trying to lay to us like a prototype, like an example, because he said we should do it according, that we should remember him every time we break the bread. And I want us to remember what he did here. He went on to have a relationship with God, and he prayed to God, and he came back and he saw his people, and they were asleep. At the most difficult time, it's your relationship with God that will matter the most. Not the relationship that you and your spouse, or you and your children, or you and your friends have with God. Not the relationship you have with pastor. When you go to God, the 12 disciples will be kept very far. Maybe the three closest, maybe pastor will be kept. You need to have a direct access to God. And the question is, do we have a direct access to God? The second point that came up here is that sometimes in our distressful place, and this is just to encourage us, that in case anyone is going through a distressful place, if anyone is going through a tough time, if anyone is going through a place where it seems like as if the darkness is so heavy. Like I said earlier on, I said Gethsemane is a place where is an oil press. It's at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. So it's a place where there's a lot of crushing, where olives are pressed into oil, where there's a transformation taking place. It's a place where Christ was going to be taken. He was going to die. But in the mindset of the devil, it was more or less like Christ was going to die, but God had a bigger plan, because salvation was going to take place. Men were going to be reconciled unto Christ, and Christ was going to be raised again. Now, sometimes when we're in the distressful place, we forget that God is working, is through us to do what he had proposed to do. And if you look at that verse, even Christ was asking that if only this cup should pass. Sometimes we come through those tough places where we think, God, can this just pass? And it's just a place of pressing. It's a place where God is trying to turn the olives into oil. God is trying to create something new. God is trying to make a transformation in our lives. And sometimes the crushing is so much. Our soul is weighed down. We can look around us and the people are asleep. The people that you trust the most are not there at all. You are moving and it looks like as if this is like a dead end. But here we understand that even though it looked like as if things were going to end, Christ was going to die, but we know that the plan was for generations to be restored unto God. The plan was for Christ to be raised after 3 days and to be seated at the right hand of God. If you understand the fact that even in the very, very difficult places, that the grace of God is very sufficient for us. The grace of God is ever present. The grace of God is ever available. The grace of God is always there. And all we need to do is just have to tap into it. One thing that Christ said when he started to pray, after he asked that the cup will pass over, he said that your will be done. And in the place of pressing, it's that place where we submit all of our will and we take up the will of God, where we give up all the things that we've been struggling with, all the things. Because if you understand that when it was until when Christ said that your will be done, and in his heart, he had already prayed through at that point because he knew that the cup was not going to pass over and God's will was going to be done. That was that point where there was a sort of relief. And the Bible did not record that his soul remained sorrowful. The Bible did not record that he was still down in his soul. At that point, he knew what was going to happen. He had a clear understanding of where he was going to and a clear understanding of purpose when he aligned his purpose completely with the purpose of God. In this place, Jesus was fully committed to God's will, even though his heart was still distressed to leave. Let us align our will to the will of God. God wants We know that God sees the end from the beginning. And if you remember, we understand the fact that God deals with us like a potter deals with the clay. One very instructive thing that that Pastor taught me in the very recent years, I think it was about over a year ago, was he talked about a living sacrifice. Here, Christ was going to be a sacrifice to the whole of the world to take up our sin. And Pastor tried to make me understand that when you're a living sacrifice, when you have aligned your will to God, it's almost like what they talk about, the living sacrifice. And he said that the living sacrifice stays on the altar. That when you want to sacrifice to God, normally they kill the cow or it's a dead sacrifice. You kill it. So the cow does not know when you're burning it. The cow does not know when you're cutting it. You've killed it. And then you sacrifice it. But when is a living sacrifice? The cow's will has been aligned and it sits in that place. So even when the fire is burning on the altar and that sacrifice is staying there on the altar, the sacrifice will has been aligned to the will of God, knowing fully well what the purpose is. And that was what Christ did here for us. When the fire was getting hotter and that sacrifice was going up, he stayed to die for our sins. And I want you to understand that whatever we are going through now, it's not going to last forever. Amen. Because what God is doing in this season, he's doing a pressing and he's doing a transformation. He's taking us from a place where we are just olives to a place where we become relevant and useful unto nations and to generations. It's taking us, it's transforming us from what we are now, working upon us, working upon our will, to take us to a place where he had proposed ahead of time for us. I wrote some points here. I said the Garden of Gethsemane is a place of pressing and crushing where olives are transformed into oil. Yeah. And it's a place of transformation where the olives die and the oil is resurrected and the oil... No, okay, let me put it. I said it's a place of transformation where olives die and are resurrected as oil which has a greater value. A place where we are pressed and our flesh and emotions are crucified and crushed to ensure that we turn out into what God has ordained us to be. A place where our will, our focus should be completely on God. A place where family and friends cannot take the place of our relationship with God. It's a place where the enemy appears as though like as if he's winning. But God is doing a transforming work in us to turn us into an instrument for his will. It's a place where the crushing is painful and sorrowful, even unto death. But God's actually using his power to translate us to be seated in the high place with him. It's a place where the troubles that trouble us, even though he's still present, but we have aligned our will to God and we have said that, Lord, that your will alone be done. Let us remember that the death of Christ, that even though it was in the place of crushing, his focus was on God. Let us remember that he submitted his will totally to God so that you and I can be saved. And let us remember Jesus and the price that he paid so that we don't have to pay the same price. Because most times we tend to want to pay the same price when we don't align our wills. Sometimes we have our own plans. And in the place of our own plans, in the place of the crushing, we never align our will. We just want to go on and just put our will to God. And then we stay in the place of crushing longer than is expected. Let us align our will to God today. Let us ask as we take the Holy Communion today, that God, that your will be done in my life. That your work of transformation will be done in my life today, just as you did in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. That, Lord, that you do that work that only you can do in the name of Jesus. Can we just stand up and pray before we take up the Holy Communion? Father, Lord, we're praying that your will and your will alone will be done in our lives. That we believe and we know that your grace is sufficient for us even in this season. Lord, let your will be done in our lives as individuals, as families, as a body of Christ. Lord, let your will be done. Even in this season of pressing and crushing and transformation, let us understand the purpose for which you are transforming us even in this season into what you want to make us into. Lord, let your will and your will alone be done in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Let's lift up our voices. If there's anything God wants to hear tonight, is the voice of your heart. The voice of your heart. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will, let your will be done in my life. Lord, I offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. It is not easy. It is not easy to be alive and to be upon the altar. And the fire is burning. The first thing I want to do is to get off the altar. This is too hot. Some of us are in that place of sacrifice. In that place of sacrifice. Lord, this pain is too much. Lord, this fire is too hot. Lord, nevertheless, not my will. Let your will be done. Lift up your voice tonight. Lift up your voice. This is not a time anybody's prayer will save you. This is not the time anybody's prayer. Your prayer partner will save you. You are alone tonight in your own garden of Gethsemane. You are alone. You are alone. All your friends are forsaking you. All your friends are there, but they are not there. All your trusted comrades are there with you, but they are not there. They are not there. Lift up your own voice and cry to God tonight. This fire is too much. It may be your marriage. It may be your job. It may be the condition of your body. It may be the condition of your academics. It may, you know your own fire. You know your own fire. No one will pray for you. Nobody prayed for Jesus. Nobody prayed for Jesus. Jesus had to come as a high priest. He's touched with every feeling of infirmity. Whatever is the pain, whatever is the struggle, whatever is your fire, you are the one who feels it. No matter how people tell you, I understand, they cannot understand. They cannot truly understand. Come to the place. Come to your own place of Gethsemane tonight. Come to your own place. Jesus did it. Jesus conquered. Jesus paid the price for us. But we also, like him, like our high priest who is touched with every feeling of infirmity, was in no point tempted as we are. We must labor to come into that rest. To come into that rest. Nobody brings us to that place of rest. We come by ourselves. Lift up your voice tonight. Lift up your voice. God wants to hear your pain. God wants to hear your pain. God wants to hear your pain. Cry out to him. Cry out. Cry out to him. If you need to take a particular position, if you want to go apart from people that you are standing or sitting beside, because you are being hindered, you can't cry, please just go to a corner. This hall is big enough. Go and cry to God from your pain right now. From your pain right now. If you need to move away, some of us are too conscious of people. But if that is a problem, move away. Just move away. If you need to move around, move around. Cry to God tonight in your pain. I am telling us, I hear the voice of God saying he's about to do something, but we must ask. He's about to answer your questions, but you must ask. He's about to answer your prayers, but you must ask. Ask. Ask, ask, ask is the first key. Cry to God tonight. Do this in remembrance of me. In the name of Jesus. Cry out in the name of Jesus.